Warning, the following podcast may contain descriptions that some listeners may find distressing. Listener discretion is advised. Any views are all our own and do not in any way reflect the places where we work. Hello and welcome to Mad or Bad. My name is Rachel.
And I'm Neil. And this week on Mini Mad or Bad, we're going to be talking about copycat killers.
So the term copycat criminals dates back to the late 1800s, about the same time that Jack the Ripper was at large. However, it's far more likely that the copycat murderers have existed for, well, as long as murderers have existed themselves. The actual inspiration can be both real or imaginary. For example, the Aurora, Colorado movie theater shooting, in which was apparently inspired by Batman's Joker. Real life inspiration, like we've already mentioned, could come from any crime, such as the likes of Jack the Ripper, Richard Ramirez, and the Zodiac Killer.
Indeed. The idea of a copycat murderer is a rather interesting one, and certainly one that bears the question, what kind of person wishes to copy a murder? What are the motives underlying the criminal behaviour, and what can be done to prevent this occurring in the first place? First and foremost, let's examine some psychological theory behind the idea of a copycat murder. There are many theories and factors which may explain this behaviour. Psychologist Nigel Barber explains that these acts seem to, quote, lie outside rational analysis and more in the realm of psychological disorders. After all, why would a sane person use the persona of a comic book character to murder innocent people he does not even know? End quote. Indeed, Nigel. I mean, it kind of sums it up there, doesn't
Nigel
it?
Nigel knows what he's talking
Nigel
about.
Nigel knows. So in essence, he is describing a psychological disorder or a mental health disorder as being the cause of such behaviour, which is quite interesting indeed there, my love.
Well, I think it's quite interesting because he's basically saying there's a disorder there and it's not like a conscious choice as such.
So, which obviously then has implications of, you know, the, like you mentioned earlier, the murder at the Colorado, the cinema one.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he does beg the question, doesn't it? Even without a psychologist's kind of comments, why the, who in the right mind would be inspired by, his hair was dyed green and stuff, wasn't
yeah.
it? I remember this. And go and kill, you know, innocent
loads of people,
people
that you don't even know.
But there again, it goes back to the title of this podcast, doesn't it?
Mad or Bad.
Mad or Bad. But it does have big implications on, obviously, the criminal justice system, doesn't it? If it is indeed
yes.
a disorder rather than a deficit
a choice
of his,
or, yeah. per, you know, personality Chari- or character
yeah,
or
then
whatever.
Obviously, you know.
So the key characteristic of true copycat behaviour is the presence of media exposure describing the original crime. The motivation behind the criminal behaviour is also important. Being inspired to commit a crime by the behaviour of someone else is generally referred to as the contagion effect. That is a baby in the background.
That's a baby there, Baby Noah.
Baby Noah. It's generally referred to as a contagion effect rather than a copycat crime, although the public tends to use these descriptors kind of interchangeably. I don't think the contagion effect just extends to murders. Like, you look at suicide even and you can see, you know, almost like a cluster of suicides in different places. And again, it comes down to media exposure or knowing people who have kill themselves.
There's one place
close to where I grew up called Middleton, and it's really just well known for like young male suicides, and you do see, you know, one person ends their life and somebody else ends up doing the same thing in really close they've known the person and stuff.
Yeah, I definitely. But then I think there's a whole load of multitude of factors, a plethora, in fact, of factors
wow.
that could be in play there. You know, it could be the socioeconomic.
Yeah, there's definitely more to it.
You know, as we know, you know, do they have underlying mental illness anyway? And then these mates know, you know, because as me and you know, Rachel, with, you know, the work that we do, understandably, quite often people with, you know, that come into hospital, their kind of social network is people that they meet in hospital and they've got
yeah.
something in common with, and, you know, they're on kind of the same journey themselves. So I don't know if this
but
in
most
Ireland
of
you're
these
talking
people,
about.
Though, most of these people don't come into contact with mental health.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, as you said before to me, off air, so to speak, that the, you know, the mental health services, certainly inpatient in Ireland, is not, I mean, we think
it's not what it is here, let's put it that
way. So that's not necessarily, so what I'm saying is, with the people that you mentioned there, it's not necessarily that, you know, they may well have had an underlying mental health issue. It just might be that it wasn't picked up, diagnosed. Yeah. And I think, and did you say as well that the, when I talk about the social economic status of those people, which obviously is a stressor and it's going to impact on people's well-being, and
yeah,
you know, did you say that that area is not, is quite, I cannot, you know, not, you know, is kind of poverty there, or we just made that up?
Not particularly. I know people who've killed themselves, they wouldn't have been particularly poor or deprived or anything. It just seems to be...
Not that, I mean, we both know a...
There's a lot
sadly
more
a person not too far from us, don't we, that we both know, and recently took their own life, and
yeah,
I don't think that, you know, wasn't an issue there. But it's just worthy of note. There's a lot of...
There's a lot of different factors, but I think there, I still think there is a bit of a, it's not a copycat thing, it's just a, it almost like turns a switch on with somebody, like it gives somebody that idea.
I mean, I don't think you've got to be a psychologist to come to that conclusion, have you? Yeah, I mean, I'm not putting you down to say that.
How dare you? So many theorists working in this area are careful to note that while media depictions of criminal behaviour can be copied, they're unlikely to actually cause the criminal act in themselves. So in other words, someone who wasn't already motivated to commit a crime wouldn't suddenly become motivated just because they see something on television or they, you know, read something in the newspaper.
It's like a predisposition.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
So they're kind of saying, you know, a contagion effect is therefore quite rare, so to speak. There appears to be two main theoretical methods of thinking in regards to copycat killers. So there's two things. There's the copycat effect and depersonalization.
So let's take a closer look at the copycat effect. It is theorized that murderers thrive on the attention and publicity gained by the original crime and the subsequent attention their acts will undoubtedly receive. A study conducted in the late 1960s by Canadian psychologist Albert Bandura, the old Bandura there, remember that? Shed some light on this particular explanation. Bandura's study sought to find out if aggression was a learned behaviour. The study showed that even children could learn aggression, most especially if they saw others being rewarded for the behaviour. So it's
that copying.
The reward,
isn't it?
is the media exposure and everything.
And I guess the
Notoriety.
If you judge notoriety as a...
Yeah. As it applies to copycat crimes, the main idea behind the theory is that these crimes draw media attention, which essentially rewards perpetrator. If you judge, as we've just said, if you judge reward as notoriety and media exposure, I would hate that.
No, that I couldn't think of anything worse, actually. But some people, for whatever reason, thrive off that. So.
When I eventually become the rock star, that I won't like that bit about it.
Yes, well, that's for another day.
Rachel, just picking something off me,
off your face.
No, I think it's a bit of cheesecake, actually.
So let's take a closer look at depersonalization. So depersonalization theory implies that murderers adopt the persona of the one they are copying in order to enable them to better account and cope with the actions that they take. So in other words, copycat killers mimic their inspiration in order to reduce their inhibitions and successfully carry out the act that they need to, i.e. the murder. The copycat effect has emerged in the 20th century to include suicides, murder, suicides, familicides and rampage killings. So basically that theory is all around kind of enabling the person to be able to carry out their murder.
Rampage killings became very familiar to Americans in the late 1990s when there were literally hundreds of violent episodes in schools involving threatened or actual use of guns. These are, you know, there's far too many examples to name.
I mean, I literally Googled American school shootings and the list was never ending. I didn't realize there was that many though. Like, I knew that there was a lot because obviously it is covered in the media.
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, the amount of school shootings is insane.
Yeah, it's crackers, isn't it?
Absolute crackers. But so, I think that the main one that I know I would have, like, the main one that I would have.
Columbine.
Yeah, and kind of the first one that I would have been aware of would have been Columbine.
Yeah, and this is good.
But there's been so many.
Bowling for Columbine.
Yeah, but I mean, there's been so many since.
When crimes that receive a lot of attention form clusters of this sort, it suggests that the desire for media attention, notoriety, is a strong motivating factor, as we've
Yeah.
So, generally speaking, journalists and social media writers are unwilling to accept that sensational coverage of mass shootings makes these crimes more common, which is obviously a massive issue.
And it is a massive issue, but it's like,
I think
it's difficult because, like, I think the population, like, people deserve to have the information. And,
oh, absolutely.
And,
well, that's never going to not be, is it?
No, but I guess there's a way of reporting it that's possibly.
But again, that's not going to be because it sells papers. It sells papers.
It does.
People watching the news.
And this isn't really. It's not really the same thing. But like the whole thing with the coronavirus, it's kind of an example, but in a different way, I guess. Like, the way the media covered that initially was fucking ridiculous. And it causes massive panic. And people, you know, are freaking out and going to supermarkets and buying stocks of toilet rolls and hand gel. And it's like, lads, seriously, the flu kills more people, everybody.
That's it, yeah.
So, yeah, I do really think there is a responsibility for media to obviously cover things, but cover it in a, I don't know, a responsible way, I guess.
Yeah, but it's
but it's difficult because it does inspire people. And what are you supposed to do with that?
You know, what's responsible reporting to us is irresponsible to others, and vice versa. And we all know, don't we? It's not that long ago about all the phone hacking and.
Yeah, I guess it's an interesting one. It'd be interesting to see if anyone could hit us up on Twitter and give us their views.
I hope you've enjoyed listening to this mini Mad or Bad episode.
As always, catch us on facebook.com/madorbad. You can catch us on Twitter. Our handle is @madorbadthepod. And also, we now have a Patreon account. So please go look us up. It is patreon.com/madorbad. You can access exclusive content. We have exclusive episodes only available to Patreon supporters. So go find us.